the last word on Today FM with Matt Cooper.
Now, there is new power has been given to an Garda Síochána, including for the first time, the right to force people to give passwords for mobile phones and other electronic devices when requested to do so. Liam Herrick, the Executive Director of the Irish Council for Civil Liberties, is with us. As things stand, if a Garda asks somebody to produce and hand over a mobile phone and then asks them to unlock it so that they can see what's on the phone, does somebody actually have to do that at the request of a Garda?
Well, Matt, the short answer to that is it depends. I mean, the purpose of this legislation is to actually consolidate and clarify the law on what police powers are in Ireland. And as things stand, there's in fact hundreds of different pieces of legislation, some dating back to pre-independence as well as common law origins. So it would depend at present on the circumstances, what the suspicion is, what the offence might be. And the aim of the Police Powers Bill the Minister for Justice is bringing forward is to actually consolidate all of that in one place so it would be clear both to the guards and to the public. Certainly the provisions with regard to the seizure of evidence and search warrants are potentially very far-reaching. The aim is to consolidate the law, but in doing so, you know, you can have a levelling up or a levelling down, and certainly with regard to the evidence gathering, it does seem to broaden the circumstances in which passwords, for example, can be demanded.
Yeah, because this is an updating, really, given that mobile phones are a relatively modern phenomenon which may not be covered by the laws. So, but it still comes back to, in what circumstances at present could a Garda go to somebody who might be involved in some fracas on the street or who might be suspected of involved in drug dealing or whatever and say, you must hand over your phone? And when they've handed over the phone, say, well, you must also unlock it for us.
Where the powers specifically arise at the moment tend to be with regard to specific offences. So, for example, what might broadly be called cyber crime or other more recent events, there actually is very often specific provision in statutes itself. But in terms of a general power, in terms of ordinary common law offences, it wouldn't generally be provided for explicitly in law that there's an obligation to provide a password. And so that's one of the challenges with this legislation is in trying to simplify and consolidate, the provision as it's currently drafted would suggest that this power to demand somebody provides a password would apply regardless of the offence for which somebody is suspected of committing. And that has the potential to significantly broaden it. Now, we need to be clear as well, what was published today is a heads of bill, so it's a general scheme, it's an outline, it's a very early stage in the process. So, you know, in that sense, there's a lot to play for here yet. I think this is a first.
Yeah, because Liam, it strikes me that there's a lot of privacy issues involved here, that you would, presumably the Gardaí would have to make a very good case, possibly even through the courts, to force somebody to hand over a piece of electronic equipment, be it a phone or a tablet or a laptop or a PC, which could contain personal information which may not be in any way relevant to any investigation that's ongoing.
Well, one of the key safeguards is that searches of property can be carried out only where there's a warrant being issued. And one of the key issues I think that's going to be addressed in this bill is whether we have a strong protection that warrants can only be issued by a court, or whether we allow in certain circumstances warrants to be issued by senior members of an Garda Síochána. Now, the bill would have seemed to contemplate some situations in which warrants could be issued by superintendents. And that has already been problematic before the courts here on constitutional grounds and European law grounds. So I think that's something that's going to need to be watched for. You having a judicial authorization of warrant is an essential safeguard. The other challenge, I think, is it refers to guidelines and codes of practice being put in place in terms of which circumstances some of the powers can be used. And these would be developed by the Garda Commissioner in consultation with some statutory bodies. But that's a different thing to those codes of practice being set out in law. And I think, again, there is a danger there that informal internal guidelines could really dictate how the powers are used in practice.
Now, there are other things as well. For the first time, apparently, Gardaí are going to be obliged to make a written record of every case where they stop and search a person. Why is that important?
Well, it's crucially important, and it's been seen, I think, in other jurisdictions as well as here, that one of the big concerns with any use of police powers is that powers would be used in a discriminatory or uneven and inconsistent way. It was a major concern during COVID, for example, and to meet that concern, the guards published regular statistics on how often the powers were used and where they were used. Now, what that has shown, even in the last couple of weeks, is that there was a significant geographical imbalance between how the powers were used, and also a gender one. What we don't see, though, is whether there's a breakdown on the basis of the ethnic and racial profile. And that is an essential safeguard, I think, to guard against discrimination in policing. So I think it's missing in what's here today. It's very welcome that there's an emphasis on more statistics and more accountability. But you also then need to have that ethnic collection of data as well, which will guard against the kind of problems we've seen, for example, in British and American policing, where police powers are used very much disproportionately against some sections of the population.
One final thing, Liam. On a number of times over the years, I've been in circumstances where I've had to give statements to An Garda Síochána. And it can be a very laborious situation whereby everything is written out in longhand, very, very slowly, to, I presume, the irritation of the Garda as well as to the person having to give the statement. Is that being dealt with in this bill?
Well, what we are seeing here is the codification of some things that have been practiced for a while. So, for example, if a person is being interviewed by the guards, there is a video and audio recording being taken of that and has been for many years. But there's often sometimes a contemporaneous note being taken by a guard as well. And this has led to a conflict where the note doesn't always match what the transcript will say. I think that's something that really does need to be addressed. And it's not very clear in what's before us today whether there is going to still be this contemporaneous note or not. There's a cost element in this, though, because translating the audiovisual recording into a transcript, which is a verbatim account of what happened, is the optimum situation, but it costs money. And sometimes there has been a reluctance to figure out who exactly is going to pay for that transcript. So that's one issue that's going to be teased out here. There's a number of positive things that will save time and money. For example, there will be a possibility for warrants to be authorised through video conferencing rather than a guard having to turn up in court, which I think is common sense and sensible. But overall, I mean, this is potentially a very positive step forward in that the public will know exactly what their rights are, the guards will know exactly what the law is, and we won't have as many confusion and ambiguities which have led to violations of rights and led to wasting of court time. But it really will be the devil in the detail here, and I think this will take a number of months to really be teased through by the Oireachtas to make sure that in trying to achieve clarity and consolidation, we don't see a diminution in rights.
Thank you very much, Liam Herrick, Executive Director of the Irish Council for Civil Liberties.